and welcome to today's Job Seeker broadcast. Our topic is recovering from rejection and doubt. Okay, it's time to be brutally honest. Down deep, doesn't it really hurt when you're rejected after an interview? After you've poured out your heart and displayed all of your career accomplishments, and you felt that slap in your face, that kind of a slang statement, well, thanks, we'll let you know. Well, you know, we've all been there, and this is a most sensitive topic, and the first step to recovery is acknowledging that that slap in the face really does hurt. To help me discuss this topic, I'm joined by a special guest, counselor and therapist, Tom Board, out of Denver, Colorado. Tom is one of our 12 preferred counselors. He's featured on our website, and you can see Tom's picture and bio. Just click preferred counselors on our toolbar. Hello there, Tom.
Hi, John. Good to be with you this afternoon.
Good to be with you and have you back again. Tom has been assisting men and women with their career advancement since 1990, and that's over 23 years of helping others find their career sweet spot. He has a master's degree in counseling and oversees his private counseling practice in the Denver area. Since 1990, Tom has completed over 2,500 career assessments using the IDEC Career Match system, and he holds the record for the largest number of individual career match assessments completed nationwide. And Tom, you have done more individual career assessments than I've done in probably twice the amount of time. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
For the first 30 minutes of our show today, Tom and I will talk about our topic, recovering from rejection and doubt, and then we'll take a short break and begin answering job hunting questions which we receive. So, Tom, let's just jump right in and begin to peel the onion on this very sensitive topic that can really whack a person right off at the knees. This whole thing about feeling rejected, just one of those unusual situations in life, and we don't like it when it happens, and we don't like it the second time it happens, and on and on and on. It's almost like being rejected by our first girlfriend or boyfriend. Give us a little bit of a taste. You're the therapist, and you have seen this. You've had clients bleeding from this in extreme situations such as divorce and death of a loved one. But losing a job is for some of us can be pretty devastating. And then on top of that, after losing a job, here we are, we try to put all of our credentials on the line and try to, take a big deep breath and go out there and bear the world. And then we get this, don't call us, we'll call you. And then, how do we get up the next day and do that again? So, as we prepared for this show, I just love the way you explained, how does this really feel?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's a great question, and you said it well, is that it's not the same as a divorce or the death of someone, but it is similar. There's a certain grief to it that has a very distinctive feel to it. There's a despair to it. There's an emptiness to it. You find yourself really struggling with a lot of thoughts that tend to be very dark in the sense of what really is important. You start really wondering about your life. You start wondering about, have you done anything good? I think there's a tremendous amount of confusion that sometimes can be here, and even if there's some anger, it can kind of go in the direction of towards others or even towards yourself. And the word, and one of the words that, that it kind of expresses this, the whole sense of it, is you just feel flattened as a person. You just kind of beat down and crushed. And it takes the wind out of your sails at so many different levels, both emotionally and psychologically, and just even relationships. You just have a hard time engaging with others because it just feels so meaninglessness. It has so much meaninglessness to it at the time. So it can be a very difficult place.
Well, and this is certainly a lot more than, I don't have any place to go in the morning. There's no office gang to meet with. The friends and colleagues that I used to have, they're not there. It's a lot more than that. Why is it that our employment just impacts us that way, or our unemployment, I should say? What is it about losing employment and even being rejected after a job interview, that sort of flattens us out, makes us feel like we've been run over by a Mack truck?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a very distinct feeling, because it's not just losing something. It feels like a statement towards you that begins to really attack, I think the way we talked about it when we were chatting the other day, both our belief system, which is, you know, does this really define me? And for many of us, our work really defines us in many, many ways. And so when we get rejected here, we feel really, really lost. And the second thing is our self-image. We realize that this is, you know, who are we now? What is our identity? So it's attacking some very core things inside of us that we feel kind of lost. It's kind of like a ship in a storm without, you know, any power or an anchor or anything. And we're just getting battered around, and we really don't know. We can't get our footing there where we say, this is who I am and this is how I believe is what's true about me. That feels all evaporated. We feel so vulnerable at this place to the input of other people and their rejection of us, that we find ourselves wondering, who are we?
Yeah, and I think you said that just very well. You know, I'm just thinking, here's a person that is no longer employed, so there's that feeling of what did I do wrong, what has happened, but then they, you know, hopefully the folks listening to the broadcast are not professional job hunters. So it's been a while, 5 or more years. And so you've got to put this thing together called a resume, and you've got to brush up and try to do some wordsmithing to get the right words to explain what you've done, and look at this, maybe this and that and so on. And maybe if you're fortunate, within a couple of weeks, you get an interview, and now you're on stage. And if there's one thing that people fear, this is probably at the top of the list next to facing a rattlesnake or a cobra, a viper, a poisonous snake, is getting on stage. And here we are, we're on stage, and it's time to dance, and we don't like that. And so we're going to grit our teeth, and we're going to give it our best. I even remember the book, Sweaty Palms, which was the title of the book in terms of job hunting tips. And here we are, we're giving it our best, and then we get this, we'll let you know. Or we get no response at all. Now, we've got to do this again and again and again. Well, after about the fourth or fifth time, I think that rejection, doubt, despair has been absolute. You know, we're flattened. And we're reaching out for hope, and hope is the next interview. Right. Well, you know, you'll do better next time. You'll do better next time, you know, type of thing. Is there anything that you know of, Tom, that compares with this?
Well, you know, I think very little that I know of for sure really compares completely to this. But, I mean, it's one of these things where, you know, I think one of the things that we kind of chatted about is that there is kind of an analogy of kind of getting, let's say you have an injury of an arm or a wrist or something, and you have to go to a physical therapist. And basically what a physical therapist has to do is to be able to get you moving and back again. There has to be a slow process of kind of working yourself to a place where you're ready to be healthy again and move forward again. And there are usually some very simple steps in which you kind of work your way through this, in which you're able to kind of feel better again about who you are and what you're able to do, and you know, with an elbow or a wrist or whatever it is, be able to have their full range of motion again. I think it's very similar to with that with people, is that there is a process to go through to be able to kind of move forward again, get out of the unstuck, flattened place and say, now, wait a minute here. It's kind of like filling the tire back up again. Wait a minute, I can get rolling here. There's something that's really true. And I think that's what needs to kind of happen for someone in a place like this.
Is there, and I think that analogy of the physical therapist is certainly an excellent one. Is there a point in this type of thing where a person is laid off and they may respond with, well, you know, these things happen and I'm just going to, you know, just press right on and I'm not going to let this get me down, when in fact, way down deep, they're really hurting. But on the surface, it's just, well, I'm not going to let this get me down. Almost like in a body injury. Yeah, my back feels a little bit out. I was lifting those concrete blocks to build a retaining wall in my backyard. Just a couple nights sleep and I should get over this. And, you know, the guy's throwing his back out. And he needs to get in and get some treatment, otherwise it's going to get worse. Is there that type of issue that can happen here?
Well, it can. I think that's very astute, John. I think many times, though, people, like you said, they just won't deal with it until there's pain, until they're conscious that I'm not doing well, which is almost too late. I mean, it's not, but it's how many rejections do you need to have before you feel so flattened you can't even breathe anymore? Mm-hmm. And so I think what you're addressing is, if you know you're in that place, it might be worth your while to do some preventative work on yourself to be able to kind of counter all the effect of all the rejection and the doubt that comes from that place, to be able to push back at that and to be able to have a strength and be able to say, I recognize what I'm wrestling with on the inside. Mm-hmm. I'm going to really work on that and go a different direction. And truthfully, a lot of it is just the way we think. Our feelings come out of what our perceptions, our beliefs, our values, our image of ourselves, a lot of what we feel comes out of that. And to work on that really helps us kind of have more strength and endurance to be able to face interviewing again.
Let's pick this up after the break, Tom. I think we're going to get
okay,
to
John,
some solutions.
We have a short 2-minute break. Today we have been talking about job search tips, but you do a lot more for men and women who are struggling with mid-career issues.
That's right, Evan, we do. We help men and women find that career sweet spot which can give their life meaning and purpose.
Well, tell me, John, what does a poor job fit look like, say, for someone in their mid-40s?
Well, Evan, that time can actually be one of despair or even great opportunity.
What do you mean, despair or opportunity? Those appear to be opposites.
Well, they are. A person in their mid-40s is beginning to realize that the first half of their work life is over, and yet They have developed a very deep habit pattern.
What kind of pattern?
Well, the pattern of going to work and putting up with less than a fulfilling job. The pattern of not looking forward to doing something with meaning and purpose. The pattern of seeing the glass half empty rather than half full.
Wait a minute. This is sounding like the old power of positive thinking.
Yeah, I guess so, in a way. I am saying that each person has to look at him or herself in the mirror and ask, do I have what it takes to make a difference, to break out of the routine and set a new course?
Well, hold it right there. I see a surge coming on, and we have run out of time on this break. Just keep that momentum and continue to tell us about breaking the old habits and setting a new course when we have our next break, okay?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDEC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast.
And we're back to our broadcast. I'm here with Counselor Tom Board, and we are talking about recovering from rejection and doubt. Tom is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website, and if you just tuned in, you can see Tom's picture and bio. Just click Preferred Counselors. Tom, we spent the first part of our show defining this whole concept of how being unemployed just flattens us and leads to a deep sense of rejection and even self-doubt. And we've left our audience sort of hanging there, and now we want to turn the corner and we want to start talking about some hope, some good news. I know that the therapist in you is wanting to put your arm around the person and say, now, come on, we can do this, but it's a little difficult to do that in a short broadcast. But perhaps as we move now on the positive side of something to do, would it be fair to say that the first step towards recovery, first step to filling that empty glass back up again, is acknowledging this is bigger than I am, and I need to do some preventative work here before it just totally consumes me. And sort of a honest acknowledgement that this happens to most everyone. It's now happening to me. It's bigger than just getting the flu. It's not cancer, but it's certainly not just a 1 or 2 day cold. And we've really got to get serious and move some positive steps. Certainly economically, it's a huge issue. Every month that goes by with no income eats away at a person's investment portfolio. So even in that situation, there's a sense of loss. Would it be fair to say, Tom, that we want to be careful in relying on our spouse or family to be a shoulder to lean on? Is there some caution that you might give us in that context?
Well, I think that's very wise, John. I think many times our families are feeling very similar things even with us. They experience our loss, our grief, our confusion, and so they're feeling right in the middle of it. So many times, it takes someone that we trust that's outside of that, whether it's a good friend, a colleague, a pastor, somebody that you trust that is willing to listen. You sense that they have good wisdom and judgment, and they're the kind of folks that you want to be able to pour out what's going on inside of you to help think this through. So I think that's a very good statement. And you're absolutely correct that the first step towards moving anywhere is just acknowledging that there's something going on, let alone try to understand it or move forward. You have to first realize something's there. So I think
the whole idea of I'm bigger than this, the denial thing, that becomes almost a barrier to recovery, because
right.
then instead of the tree bending, it's going to break down the road. Okay, so first is acknowledging this is a big deal, and I do need to follow some careful steps to work out of this tar pit. And you mentioned talking to a friend. Can you pre-qualify that friend? Are there some, in choosing who that friend would be, now certainly a professional therapist would be ideal, but let's just stick with a friend. Can you give us some qualifiers? Which friend would be a better one to talk to than another?
Well, I think obviously someone that's gone through this is wonderful, because they're going to know what you've gone through. So, that, I mean, that's at the top of the list. But if you don't have somebody that actually has gone through it, the thing you're really wanting to think about is someone that just has some maturity in the way that they think about life, and that they're not going to dismiss the things you're feeling or try to fix you too quickly. We're going to, obviously, you and I are going to suggest a few things to do, but you do need somebody that's not trying to kind of get this all fixed for you. They really will listen to you, draw you out, help you think it through, and more importantly, just have a place where you feel safe, that you can talk about this stuff, and just admit that you're normal at some level. Even though this feels so abnormal, it's extremely normal to feel this stuff when you felt rejection, when you feel the doubt, when you feel the sorrow of having lost a job or just not being able to find another one. There's certain elements here that everybody is going to be feeling this stuff at some degree or another, and you're looking for someone that can actually be mature enough to be able to handle it.
And could we say, because I know the points you and I have itemized here, and so this is, you know, point number one is let's admit that this is bigger than we are and we need to be serious about it rather than just deny it. And number two, let's find someone to talk to. Could we say this person to talk to is someone that knew you or has known you when you were the top of your game?
That's an excellent point. That's very, very good. That helped. That's another way of looking for someone that has some maturity in the sense of understanding you as a person, is someone that has actually seen you at your best. That's great, John.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be a colleague, and a sympathetic one, not someone where you feel you're in competition with them, but
absolutely.
you want someone to commiserate with. Okay, well, that's step two. Let's go to a third, a third point. And you and I talked about this, of going back to one's foundation of what is true about them in terms of what they've achieved. Why is that so important, Tom?
Well, you know, and just thinking about this, that a lot of times when you're so dark like this, you kind of forget what's true about who you are. And as we were chatting the other day, I think it was one of the things that I feel is very, very important, is to try to find the truth again about who you are. So whether it's knowing who you are as far as an assessment that you've taken that kind of points out your strengths and your talents, experiences that you've had that you've been successful at, just to be able to go back and to remember there's something that I have to offer here. There's something that I have done well, that there are words that can help describe who you are as a person in how you've worked and achieved and performed in the past. I think it's very important to kind of refine who you are, because remember, one of the things that's so messed up here is our belief system and our self-image. We get all twisted right here, and so this is one way to kind of go back and kind of refine it, reshape it, to remember what's really true about who we are.
Mm. And, you know, as I'm listening to you here, if we go back to that physical therapist analogy, you know, if you throw out your leg, you know, it's hurting to walk, or you throw out your back, well, everything is going to feel hurting. I mean, you can't sit in a chair. You can't even reach to pick up your fork at dinner, let alone pick up the telephone, and something's going to hurt. So it's all over you. And what's interesting on this is even though we're feeling hurt right now, that doesn't change the fact that you were awarded that special writing award as a sophomore in college, or the fact that you were elected captain of the team, or that you kicked the winning goal in soccer, or that you were the finalist in a contest, and on and on and on. Those things in the past are undeniable. You got an A+ in algebra, and even if you're flunking geometry, it doesn't change the fact you got an A+ in algebra the year before.
That's right.
Actually, for me, it was the other way around. I got an A+ in geometry, and I flunked algebra, or I almost flunked algebra. And I tell you, the pain of going through algebra, I don't want to go through that again. So what you're saying here is there is a rock bottom truth to every person, and part of that rock bottom truth has to do with their accomplishments of what they have done up to that point where they were, quote, let go. Is that where we're, is that kind
absolutely.
Of a fundamental issue here?
That's absolutely true. And I think that, you know, for the process here for us to kind of work through this, it's to put words to this. And then I always encourage people to write this stuff down. It just helps to kind of look at it, to reread it. When you have a moment of doubt and you're struggling again, to be able to say, now, wait a minute here. This is what's really true. This is what I've done. This is who I am. I think it's very, very important.
Mm. So we would say, if we're trying to come up with some pointers, we're saying step one is let's acknowledge that this is a real and serious issue that's got to be dealt with, not just fluff it, brush it aside. Number two, we need to talk it out to someone who has a reasonable perspective, and maybe someone that's seen us in the top of our game, who
right.
won't let us talk ourselves down, because they keep reminding us, hey, wait a minute. When I first got to know you 10 years ago, you were the top salesman in our department. And just because the company let you go, that hasn't changed that, and so on and so on. And now what we're saying is we've got to start thinking in terms of what were those accomplishments that defined us, that can go all the way back to high school, awards, honors, achievements, grades, first place in the 100-yard in the 100 meters, and so on. And now you're saying it's important to write it down. Writing it down has some kind of a permanence to it. You can see it. Is that we're trying to, quote, get it as tangible. We'll pick it up after the break.
That's great.
All right. Well, we're taking a short 2-minute break to ask John Bradley some questions about breaking out of long ingrained habits of going to work and just accepting less than a fulfilling job. John, in our last break, you started a surge to present a paradigm shift to break away from a dull work life.
Yeah, that's right, Evan. That is what I was attempting to do. You had commented earlier that this was a warmed over version of the power of positive thinking. And actually, I admit that in my earlier years, I read about some of the leaders in that movement for the purpose of looking for a nugget or two of truth. I did find something that has stuck with me all these years, and it's the power of the word believe.
Ah, you say believe.
That's right, believe. It means that those who believe with all their heart that it is possible to have a fulfilling career, they are more than halfway there. These clients just need some key aptitude test results, which they could validate.
You mean the on-location meeting with the person who has your job?
That's right. Once they find that person, and it doesn't take more than a couple of weeks, they can make the internal commitment to do what it would take to make it happen.
Well, what if they were way out on a cloud, unrealistic?
Well, that is what the counselor should provide, a sound, mature, practical buffer of what is real and possible for each person.
John, I want to hear more about this conviction process. I'm sure our listeners want me to fast forward to learn how it works. Can we pick it up at the next break?
Sure, no problem.
Thanks, John. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast.
We're back to our broadcast talking today about recovering from rejection and doubt. And my co-host today is counselor and therapist Tom Board from Denver, Colorado. And Tom, we're right at the tail end now of giving pointers on how to just get out of this deep, dark hole. And we've come up with four important pointers. First, we need to come to the realization that this unfortunate dilemma has occurred. It's no different than throwing our back out. It has happened. We need to deal with it in a mature way. And second, we need to talk to someone who's competent to hear us out. And third, we need to start thinking in terms of our accomplishments of past years that haven't changed. They're still there. They're still true. And lastly, you've mentioned writing these things down, that somehow writing it down has a sense of it's concrete, it's real. Did I get that right?
That is correct, John.
So now, once we write it down, I'm now putting my job seeker hat on. We're not that far away from a cover letter, a resume, and getting ready for an interview. There's hopefully by writing these things down, there's a little bit of a glow. You know, the candle hopefully is still there. Maybe it's not a bonfire, but it's a candle. So, yeah, I remember when I did this, and I remember all the positive comments that I got, and I remember when I did that, and all the praise and the applause and so on. And so we're starting to move in a positive direction. But one thing I would say in terms of putting words on a page, and I've seen this happen, unfortunately, where a person will get the words on page, and then during the heat of an interview, somehow the words are not inserted into a mature, well-thought-through sentence. They just, you know, they're still those words on a page. And so there has to be a way to massage those words. Over the past 20 years, I've had a successive pattern of, and in my last 3 years, I have achieved that kind of thing. And that has to be also crafted. But these pointers you and I are discussing is more from the standpoint of getting out of the hole so that we can feel that we are able to go back and do combat out there in the workforce.
Absolutely.
And hopefully our listeners are going to take advantage of many of the other broadcasts we've done on how to be competitive out there in the job hunt process. Well, Tom, any closing comments before we go to answering some job seeker questions?
Well, I just want to encourage people that are in this place to realize that it's very, very normal, and it happens quite a bit. And don't let get in the way of really believing that there is something out there that can really fit you, and that there be a job that would really kind of not only meet your needs, but that the company would feel very grateful to have you working with them because of all that you bring. It's just a difficult time, and I think it's an important kind of realization that as human beings we do experience stuff like this, and not to let this kind of dictate how you view your life. It's just something we struggle with. It's not who you are.
Yeah, and you and I mean, this is our profession. We talk to people every day that are going through this. We must be crazy, by the way. And so we're the ones that can say, honestly, this time will pass. We see it over and over every day, new faces, new stories, but the same situation. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but with me, there are tears. There'll be tears, and tears are coming from men as well as women where they're feeling that rejection. And, you know, we've seen the light at the end of the tunnel with those individuals. Now, it's not going to be tomorrow or the next day, but it's going to come. And so just by virtue that we can say that, hopefully we'll give our listeners some hope that this time will pass, and that, you know, one thing I've heard over and over again that clients have said to me, I didn't like it, but now that I'm through it, I'm a better person. I'm better for how I survived, and I'm in a better place. And, you know, that's a pretty courageous statement, but I've heard unsolicited comments of people saying that.
You bet.
And so,
actually affirm that. I've heard that too. I really agree with that.
Yeah. So let's jump into some job seeker questions. Have you got some for us?
I do. The first one here is we have a lady named Lisa from Dayton, Ohio, and she said, I'm a laid-off teacher with no marketplace skills. Should I go back to school to get a job?
Okay. Let me say that today and for the last several years, teachers have really taken a hit. I just heard a recent quote that those in the teaching profession have the highest rate of losing their employment among all other professions out there. Maybe they're second to construction workers, but it's a situation. And we also have to say that, generally speaking, teachers are part of the educational bubble of our world community. They are in a place where what they do is education. They're familiar with it. They're comfortable with it. So going to school, taking classes, is not a negative thing compared to other professions where it's the last thing I want to do is go back in the classroom. So just from the standpoint of recovering from rejection or feeling poorly, taking a class might not be a bad situation for a person, particularly a teacher. On the other hand, though, the question was specifically geared to, should I go back to school? Well, if the teacher was laid off and the layoff was because of budget issues, you're not going to go across the street and get hired as a teacher. And so this teacher now has to take a realistic inventory of what are my transferable skills that can be applied to other occupations. Transferable skills is another term that I use for natural talents. This core, this innate, your DNA, how you're hardwired, is transferable. And so if we're going to determine, are you really good at some new occupation, we've got to go back and identify those innate natural talent traits. And so before thinking of paying for classes or pursuing another degree, I think it'd be smart for Lisa to take a step backwards and evaluate what her strengths are and what are some compatible career advancement options. And then the next step is absolutely key. Lisa needs to meet the person that is in that new occupation that she's thinking about and have that person tell her whether additional education is critical. So in a nutshell, my advice to Lisa would be, if you are wanting to pursue something new, talk to someone who is in that occupation, get their advice whether additional schooling is that critical, rather than listen to the admissions counselor in some degree program try to sell you, oh, you really need this to get a job, when in fact you may not. And we're not talking hundreds of dollars, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars, plus the delay of getting employed while you're still in going to school. Tom, anything you want to add to that?
No, I really liked what you had to say there. I do think that you're right. The thing that I would jump on also is that those transferable skills, that is the beginning point of being able to identify what really do you bring that you've always had as far as even as a teacher that you could bring to some other work setting, another place that you might not even realize that's transferable. And I think that's a very good thing to become aware of, is that there's something I do bring. Many times people just feel like that's all I've ever done, and that's the only thing I know how to do, and what else could I ever do?
Yes, and, I hear that all the time. Yeah, I hear that all. You know, I had one client, he worked for the same employer for over 30 years, and he's saying, well, what else? This is all I know. We are these innate traits that we have, and I would say the first thing Lisa needs to do is not refer to herself as a laid-off teacher, but refer to herself as someone who is hardwired with certain strengths and assets that for a period in her life she invested in teaching and now is looking to make a change and invest those core innate traits in another arena. So that would be probably what to say to Lisa. Do you have another job seeker question, Tom?
I do. I have a lady from Portland here. Her name is Anne. And she said, my children are gone, and I would like to find something to do. I don't need much money, just would like to be useful.
Hmm. Okay. Situations like this, I do encounter these. And when I hear them, I try to encourage the person. And we'll pick up this after the break, Tom.
Okay, great.
So we're taking a short 2-minute break at the final quarter of our show to ask John Bradley how one can break out of the deep ingrained habit pattern of doing a dull job and choose to do something different. John, you made it sound so simple. You said all you have to do is believe.
Well, that's right, Evan. You recall the example to illustrate this point of what it means to believe. It's about the guy who says, I will cross Niagara Falls on a tight wire pushing a wheelbarrow. This person has done the act many times at the state fair, but now he wants to do Niagara Falls.
Okay. I recall the illustration, and then the observer is asked, do you believe he can do it?
Yep, that's it. The observer shrugs his shoulders and says, yeah, sure. He has done it before, no big deal. And then the question comes back to the observer. Well, if you believe he can, well then, hop in the wheelbarrow.
Okay, so it is that type of committed belief that it takes to break free of the deep ingrained habits of doing a dull job.
That's right.
So how does one muster up that belief to get there? Take an energy drink?
Well, we can think each step of that belief process needs to come in more bite-sized chunks. Sort of like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Okay, so what are the bites?
Well, the first bite is to discover how you are gifted with innate talent. Also, that your passion or inner stirring combined with that talent points to a valid actual career.
Okay, that's a good start. A person gets actual career titles on a printout report which your career match system provides.
That's right. Then we say, don't change any habits. Don't quit your job right now. Just locate at least three people who each are in one of the different careers you like the most from our list.
Now, what do you mean, the list?
Well, after testing, we provide for our client a list of the top 10 best career matches from over 90,000 options, and they select the three from the 10 they want to research first.
Okay, and from that preferred selection, they go to meet the person in each of their careers to ultimately find the person who has their job.
That's right.
I get it. It is by meeting that person that the emotions come to play.
That's right. Like, I can't live without this new job. For the first time, I get to be free to be the real me and get paid for it. I want it now more than that lousy, dull job that I'm doing.
Okay, and is there still a higher level of belief to make that happen?
Well, yes. The final stage is counting the cost of what it will take to get hired. The counselor needs to map it out, and this means if you really want this job, here is what it will take to get hired.
Okay, I get it. And then the belief sets in, I can do this. All I need is the dedication.
That's right. You said it correctly.
John, this has been a most interesting journey.
Well, thanks, Evan.
I want to encourage any of you who are feeling the drudgery of a job which lacks meaning and purpose to go to our website, www.idacgroup.com, and make contact with one of our preferred counselors. Each of these seasoned men and women are professionals at helping you discover your wiring and find the best of 90,000 career options. You will see the references, preferred counselors, at the top of our toolbar. John, we still have the last quarter of your show. Let's return to advice for the job seeker. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley, who has been coaching men and women to advance beyond dull jobs to find fulfilling work since the mid-1970s. I'm Evan Newman, and now, John, let's return to the final quarter of our show.
We're back to our Job Seeker broadcast, and I am joined by our guest co-host, Tom Board from Denver, Colorado, and we are answering Job Seeker questions that we have received. Tom, just before the break, you shared a question from Ann in Portland that her children were gone and she would like to find something to do and the money is not important. And I was just starting to mention that when I get these kinds of questions, and I've had a good number of them, this is not a rare situation, I try to point out to the individual that they're in a once-in-a-lifetime situation where they can buy themselves a job. They can purchase for themselves a job. And usually the individual goes, what? Wait a minute, I'm buying the job, and what I mean by that is that because the money is not that important, you're in a position to do a job with an organization that desperately needs your help, but they currently, because of the economy or some other issue that's occurring, they can't afford to hire you. You're in a very strong negotiating position. They need you, but they currently, in their wildest dreams, wouldn't ever think of posting a vacancy because they couldn't, quote, afford it. And I've really had some incredible successes with clients in this kind of situation find a position. So the issue now is for Ann to wave that magic wand and define, I would give anything if I could do this, and then begin the process of contacting the manager or the executive that oversees the job that she wants and begin a dialogue. In a way, she's making them an offer that's so incredible they'd be crazy to turn her down. Now, you don't walk in the door and say, hey, I'm willing to work for nothing. You don't do that. There's a little bit of a dance here, and we've covered that in other broadcasts, but I want to congratulate Ann that she's at a point in her life that very, very few people get to. Most of us are just so desperate. We've got to have the dollars right now, and that commands the very nature of the position. Well, here Ann is, and she might be able to telecommute for a position. She might have something that's allows her to be a snowbird and work 6 months out of the year and the other 6 months be on vacation. All kinds of incredible possibilities that Ann could pursue. Tom, anything you wanted to add on this one?
No, I really like that. I think that you're right. It's one of those things that are very unusual where you have some freedom and flexibility to be able to really look for what you'd really like and, to expand your typical horizons and, even thinking of nonprofits, which many times they're very underfunded and they're desperately needing people and they don't even know how to kind of find them many times. So if you have a passion for something, that's a wonderful direction to even take it.
Yes. And the whole idea is you've got to start a relationship with the decision maker and begin the process. Good. How about some other job seeker questions?
All right. I have a gentleman here. His name is Jared. He's from Carson City, Nevada. And he says, I grew up on a family ranch and have known nothing else. My parents are too old to run the place, and I don't want to keep it up. What kind of job can I do?
Well, I've certainly seen this in other scenarios where the second generation has been part of the family business, and now that mom and dad are too old, does not want to pick up the baton and keep it going, but that's all they've known how to do. Well, on the positive side, Jared needs to, and you and I were talking about this earlier, needs to take an inventory of what were the positive things that he liked to do when he was part of that agricultural business on the family ranch. And that goes not just from whether it's a livestock ranch or if it's a crop ranch, the actual day-to-day operations, but there's the finance, there's the marketing, there's the hauling, there's the purchase and repair of equipment, there's the management of employees, and then there's the physical labor part, the outside physical labor. There's the being on your feet. There's the seeing the productivity of the day's work right there in front of you. You and I don't get to see that, but those that are in the field of agriculture, they get to see the results, the plowed field, the new herd of cattle, the new calves that are born, and so on. But all that needs to be identified, and that comprises for Jared the beginning of his assets that he can provide for an employer. Now, the first thing that Jared should consider would be an organization, a for-profit, a nonprofit, or a government agency that has something to do with agriculture. That will be the easiest transition for Jared, because he can not only rely on his natural talents, but also on his knowledge of agriculture in general. Beyond that, Jared does need to take a serious inventory of his aptitudes, specifically his natural talents, and then look at where his passion for just things in his community, things in his state, in his city, where those might go that would outline for him some new possibilities. The good news is that he is employed. He's still working. Sounds like he might have some time here, maybe a year or so. And if there needs to be further education, then there is that option available there as well. So I think Jared needs to be doing some careful planning and not just be thinking about this while he's driving his pickup back and forth to work each day.
Good.
Any other questions you've got, Tom? We've just got a couple of minutes here.
All right. I think this one is similar to the last one, a little different. His name is Brent from San Diego. He says, my present job is okay, but maybe there is something better out there. How do I find out about careers I have never heard of?
Ah. Well, we have good news and bad news for Brent in San Diego. And that is, yes, there is, for example, in our system, there are 90,000. But people do not stray beyond the familiar. And we're at the end of our show, Tom. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It was wonderful.
So that finishes up our Job Seeker broadcast for this week. Our host has been job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John is president and founder of the IDAC Group. He has been helping mid-career men and women find their sweet spot since 1973. In addition to counseling mid-career men and women, John has authored 4 career advancement books. The IDAC Group has assisted over 30,000 career seekers nationwide, and John has personally trained over 600 counselors, college professors, and consultants in career advancement and job search. He has personally selected 12 of these 600, whom he features as preferred counselors, on his website. These men and women are independent practitioners whom John has personally trained. They are not employees nor affiliated with the IDAC Group. They have not paid any fee to be featured on this broadcast nor on IDAC's website. They are good, honest professionals who have gained John's approval over many years of successful practice. I'm Evan Newman, and I encourage you to join us next week at the same time for our next live broadcast. I think all of us know someone who is unemployed or frustrated in their job search. Why not send them a tweet, email, or Facebook note about our free broadcast? Maybe your friend can learn something which will land them that next job. We invite you to participate in our broadcast by sending your job search questions during our live broadcast. Those questions received during the live broadcast will receive John's priority attention. Thanks for listening. Best wishes, and may God bless you in your job search.